The views and opinions expressed on Analyze This are entirely those of the on-air participants and do not reflect those of the station's board, management, staff, or underwriters.
And we're back here on Analyze This. Some programming notes for tonight on Channel 12, of course, the PBS NewsHour at 7 p.m. And then at 8 p.m., Washington Week with The Atlantic. That's from 8 to 8:30. And then at 8:30, In Conversation with AARP-VI. That's another half hour deal, right? So 8 to 8:30, Washington Week with The Atlantic. And 8:30 tonight, In Conversation with AARP-VI, right? And then from 9 looks like up until midnight, right? They said meet the Troy Groh family and get a behind-the-scenes look at their three restaurants, right? And, of course, this is French terms here, right? They said menu, placiers, right? And they said Le Troy Groh, right? Yeah, menu, placiers, Le Troy Groh. And that's a long one. This one going for, okay, 3 hours. Yeah, so that's going to be from 9 to midnight. And then, of course, I'm an important company. Comes in at midnight when she don't come on at 11. You know what I'm saying? So, looking forward to that. By the way, got an update for you for Tuesday. Right, of course, you know, we got a table talk on Monday because Easter week next week. We got a short week next week, right? Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. On Tuesday, Delegate Plaza is going to be on from 8 to 8:30. And then Malik Siku is going to be joining us for this part two of our conversation with him for Via His 3 month. From 8:30 until 8:55, and we're trying to do a Zoom link with Professor Malik Siku, because you know he is a UVA professor, and you know he's teaching our educating our populace over there. So we're trying to accommodate that as well. Okay, so Monday and Tuesday, you know, on lock, so to speak, and we're looking forward to that, right? And there might also be another announcement for something coming up next week, so stay close, like we just said, right? So yeah, it's gonna be interesting to see you know what takes place on Monday with that matter there, because you know America is supposed to be the leader of the free world, and as it stands right now, America's struggling big time, man, from a perception standpoint. When I used to listen to hip hop music 5-6 hours a day this is late '80s, early '90s. One of my favorite groups was a group called EPMD, right? Eric and Parrish Making Dollars, right? Eric Sermon and Parrish Smith, and one of their songs was "Total Chaos and Mass Confusion," right? Total chaos and mass confusion, yo. American politics right now, total chaos and mass confusion. And it's all because of money and power, right? Now, there is a racism component there, right, that can be ignored. And don't believe, you know, the uproar or what taking place down at the border. It ain't also about racism. You know what I'm saying? That's just my take, right? Don't forget we put a disclaimer out for this show, right? The views, right, aren't necessarily those of the station. In this case, right, I'm telling you, racism is alive and well. Heavy in certain pockets in America. People ain't want to touch it because it might be politically, you know, penalizing, I think that's the right term. We got a lot of people going on, and the real reason why you're hearing them taking positions, why they're taking, is because of that. So, do we have Dusty and Alaya? We haven't. You're supposed to hear from Dusty Cook from Global Medevac. I think we might have to call him. There's his number is here. I got his number here if you need it, so you could give him a shout and for us to call him to talk about Global Medevac and the service they provide and all that stuff. But so looking forward to having that discussion. And hopefully we could get him on the line to talk about that. Bam, bam. Yeah, well, and it actually exists here in the Virgin Islands as well. You know, and hopefully they can make that happen. So, like I said, don't forget next week, right? We got a short week. We're on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And then we'll be back on Tuesday, okay? Because Good Friday and Easter Monday, we're not going to be in the mix. You know what I'm saying? And there's a possibility that I might be heading out of town later on that week, which is, I believe, either Thursday the 4th or Friday the 5th of April. Right? So I'll firm that up sometime next week. But I think I might be getting out of Dodge for a little bit. And then, so, you know, we'll know what's going on. I believe we have Dusty on the line. Good morning, Mr. Cook. How are you?
Just fine. How are you?
I'm doing well. Introduce yourself to the audience, and then we can get into the conversation, if you will.
That'd be great. My name is Dusty Cook. I'm the manager for Global Medevac here in the Caribbean. Specifically here in the USVI, covering St. Thomas, St. John's, and St. Croix. We've been here since licensed and incorporated since 2019. But I thank you for the opportunity to get our message across.
Now, who is Global Medevac?
Well, Global Medevac is we're a flight company that has about 28 different benefits, and we're designed to move our members, our residents here in the territory, out of the hospital. If they're unable to be treated here, they can choose hospitals that they want to go to in the United States. We provide the flight and allow an escort on that flight to go with them. So we do have an emergency air ambulance benefit, but we have a number of other benefits that are very important. Our commercial flights, they're upgrades. If someone is having an issue and they want to be flown stateside to have that issue addressed, we pay for commercial flights there and back. If they're actually admitted into a hospital, we're going to pay for their spouse to go with them and back. So we pay for two round-trip tickets. If, in fact, a lot of people won't need an air ambulance, and we want to be kind of a preventative. If there's an issue, let's get you to a hospital in Atlanta. Let's get you, I don't know, any in Florida or Washington, D.C., wherever they might want to go. They might have family in Cleveland, Ohio, and they want a commercial flight there. So the commercial, we do a lot more commercial flights than air ambulances. The air ambulance is obviously the life-saving flight. But we want to help the members and use commercial flights to get them the care they need before they get in the hospital system.
Let's talk more about the industry because, you know, we're not a commercial station. We're an NPR station. So we want to talk about the industry and actually doing business in the region and all that stuff, if that's okay with you, right? Because we're not getting into promoting one company versus another on this particular medium. Okay?
Okay. Mr. Cook?
Okay? So talk about the industry and talk about the challenges given where we're located, because I know you're into air and ground service, but you know our situation is limited here in the Virgin Islands.
You're so right, and Let me just say this, that the air ambulance industry itself, and I've been doing this for 30 years, and I do have to say I've done over 5,000 medical flights.
Okay.
However, ever since the pandemic, as far as the air ambulance industry goes, there's a lot of companies that went out of business.
Yeah, and I want you to talk specifically about that, because if you started business here in 2019 and then less than a year later, everything gets shut down, how did you guys make out?
We actually were very, very successful. And it was for the fact, I mean, we were successful as a business growing. We never grew so much as we did in the pandemic years. But I've already established connections with a number of air ambulance companies I've used for 30 years. And these companies were solidly placed, well-funded. But there were a number of other companies that went out of business. They lost, other companies sold planes. A lot of companies lost pilots that they couldn't afford to pay anymore. And a lot of pilots went to commercial airlines. In addition to that, what we have seen, and this is still a problem, is that a lot of air ambulance certificate schools closed up for pilots. So that reduced the amount of opportunity for these pilots that have to go in about every 6 months to recertify.
Mm-hmm.
And so that waiting period now is backed up. So that affects the air ambulance industry generally overall, and it affects for service throughout the Caribbean, especially here in the USVI. You know, we're fortunate enough that we have companies, again, that we know their clinical teams. We know their planes and their maintenance capabilities. And we are fortunate enough to have a connection in St. Croix that we use for flights also, and Puerto Rico and Dominican Republic and South Florida. The larger the number of networking you have available, the more successful you're going to be in your response time for your members.
Mm-hmm.
And that is key. You want that response time to be as quick as you can to move critical patients.
How do you guys deal with the language barrier in some countries not speaking English?
Well, I have Spanish speakers that are available 24/7.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, we really haven't had any problems. If, in fact, for instance, somebody needs a flight from Japan, we have worldwide service. We have translation services that we use that are available 24/7 also.
Now, a company of your nature, you also deal with currency conversion, right? How does that work? Just generally speaking.
It just depends on what country we were dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we've been licensed and incorporated at Anguilla also. And you just work with the conversion rate that's in place. And we can pay with EC dollars there, for instance. Or it just depends on where we might be. If it's a euro situation, or if it's a franc in France, you can pay through our bank through a wire transfer, and it can be paid in francs.
Okay, that's good. So what's your general take? How long have you been to Virgin Islands since 2019, or you've been to Virgin Islands before that and you came to St. Croix in 2019?
No, we were licensed and incorporated in 2019. Prior to that, I'd worked 25 years for another company.
Okay.
And had established offices from. In fact, we built with the other company the offices here all the way down to Trinidad. I opened them all up for them, and so we have a lot of experience here in the Caribbean.
Now talk about transitioning out of the pandemic into what is now labeled as an endemic. How's business? The business terrain, not necessarily your business, but the business terrain in the Virgin Islands, based on what you've seen. Because, you know, we started this show in the heart of the pandemic in April of 2020. And, you know, it seems like yesterday, but next month we're looking at 4 years. How's it been, you know, coming forward to where we are right now?
You know, I increased benefits here after third year and fifth year that are free that they get. But what you just said, I mean, this is the fourth year. It just flies by so fast. But as far as the business community, I mean, you've got to realize what you've got here. And that is, and let's go back to the hurricanes in 2017, and then to be hit after that with 2 years of pandemic. But our residents here in the territory are resilient.
That's the word that's the word I was hating. I was waiting for you to say, man. I need to hear that.
They are, I mean, you cannot beat it. And heads up, worked hard. And but as far as a business environment, I know that I can't speak for a lot of other businesses, but I certainly can for us, and I'm we're extremely fortunate. Yes.
No. There are those who, you know, are skeptical. I don't want to be extreme and say pessimistic, but some are skeptical as it relates to our prospects, what have you. But are you optimistic that if we, you know, could put some things in place, and I'm talking we as a people in the Virgin Islands, territory-wise, St. Thomas, St. John, St. Croix, that we could actually get on a upward trajectory and actually be even more productive as a community here in the Virgin Islands, given our resources?
I do believe so. I think the resources that we have now need to be allocated in a priority manner, and as far as, let's say, government resources. But in the private sector, I see that in the owners of various businesses I have that are clients, they've learned a lot from the pandemic, and they learned a lot from the hurricanes. And I do believe that they have got priorities a little bit different than what they had before. And there are some that are actually have a cash surplus, which is a good situation. But you can see businesses coming back just as strong as they were before.
That's what I'm talking about. We're talking here.
And because I can say that, I didn't mean to interrupt, but I can say that because we've had talk of some during the pandemic, and we've gone back now after that. And they have been very receptive to listening to our what we offer, how we can help the territory, and that's been successful also.
Yeah, we're talking with Dusty Cook from Global Medevac. We'll take a break and be back right after this.
Something for everyone. With two locations, the Bank of St. Croix provides personal and business checking accounts, online banking, and mobile apps for banking on the go, a nonprofit community investment checking account, and a 24-hour banking cash management platform. Bank of St. Croix Gallows Bay, Bank of St. Croix Peters Rest, and online, bankofstcroix.com. For details about our nonprofit community investment checking account, our service specialists are ready to help. Bank of St. Croix, member FDIC.
Hi, I'm Peter Sagal. You spent the week listening to the news. Don't you think you deserve to show off what you've learned on Wait, we give you a chance to impress your friends with your knowledge of international incidents, political gaffes, and the latest advancement in German nudists. You'll be the life of the party, or the death. Either way, you'll make an impression, and you can thank Wait, Don't Tell Me from NPR.
Saturdays at 1 p.m. and Sundays at 2 p.m. right here on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
Sometimes you need a moment to just step back, relax, and listen to your favorite song. I'm Raina Duris, and on the next World Cafe, maybe I can help you find something new to love, or maybe remind you of something you've been missing. There's so much music out there to enjoy, so take a moment, take a breath, and tune in to World Cafe.
Weekdays at 10 p.m. on WTJX FM 93.1.
So I spent the past year trying to figure out what news designed for 21st century humans might look like. One of the things that really stuck with me was that we now know that humans actually need hope to get up in the morning. And I don't think as a journalist I ever thought about it that way.
We're always looking for new and better ways to understand the world we live in. That's On Point with me, Meghna Chakrabarty.
Weekdays at 1 p.m. on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
And we're back here at Analyze This, and we're talking with Dusty Cook of Global Medevac. Good morning, Dusty. Glad to have you on.
No, thank you again. Okay, yes. Good.
Now, talk about the industry in general, globally, if you will. I know we're here in the Virgin Islands, but, you know, the world we're living in now, everything is global. No pun intended.
Yeah, I understand. Well, you know, when we originated, and we were the first, I was with an attorney and another gentleman 30 years ago to start the industry. It was more of a industry that was based in the United States. And it was more of an industry that was based on snowbirds getting back home. But we decided that there was a need for our services on an emergency basis throughout the Caribbean. So that's kind of how the business, their industry expanded through the Caribbean. And what happens is everybody that travels should have some type of means to get back home. I don't care if they're going to Africa, Thailand, or wherever. So the industry serves on a worldwide basis. And it's an industry that really, if someone has traveled away, normally their insurance is not going to cover them if they were hospitalized, let's say, in Turkey. So they need the means to get back as quick as they can where their insurance will take care of all their emergent health needs. But as far as a worldwide basis, it not only is using air ambulance to return people, but the industry also provides commercial flights that if someone is hospitalized and released, it still gives them an opportunity to get back through a policy to get back home. And what that does as an industry, I don't care if you live in the United States or Mexico or are certainly here in the territory in the Caribbean, but it saves a lot of people out-of-pocket expenses, which get up to thousands of dollars. So the industry on a whole, yes, air ambulances are very important, but I just cannot stress how an air ambulance, a commercial flight is so needed, and the revenue that you have to pay for that we refund to them, or the industry does refund if the company has that benefit, sure saves a lot of money for an individual or a family household.
Now, why would a pilot consider working for a company of this nature and not a major airline? What is it about the marketplace or the industry from a pilot perspective? Is it more about what they want to do at that particular point, or are there benefits per se for working for an entity on a lower scale as opposed to a large commercial airline?
And that's another good question. The pay scales have gone up. after the pandemic and during the pandemic, after that to entice or to maintain your fleet or your pilots for your fleet, the pay scale has gone up. And another factor, as you just mentioned, is the industry itself. You know, you're not necessarily on a schedule that you have to adhere to. You respond to flights. Yes, you're on call, and you have a salary, but it's more. It's not necessarily so structured that you have to be here, there, at this time, and but you do have to be ready to go. And it's the nature of what they do. The pilots, hopefully, a lot of them do that I deal with, feel the same way I do, because there's nothing more gratifying than saving a child or saving anyone. And so that provides a lot of satisfaction to the pilots, too.
Talk about doing business in the Virgin Islands. We've had what I believe is a misnomer as it relates to the Virgin Islands, where there were times where we were labeled as not open for business and all that stuff. Talk about your 4+ years here. What's it been like?
I couldn't disagree more with that. I have been treated with, in dealing with the Lieutenant Governor's office and the insurance division, you talk about helpful, and walking me through my early processes, I couldn't give them, I don't know how much credit I can give them. And has it been, as far as working with, I have contracts with various government agencies, a lot of them, and they were very receptive to Global Medevac being part of their payroll deduction process. And but I can tell you what, in going to Anguilla compared to here in the USVI, it's night and day. As far as welcoming new businesses and insisting in getting those businesses up and running.
That's good. That's good to hear. So let's talk about your history, your professional background. You're originally from where?
I'm actually from Colorado, and then moved to Texas. And then I was with another company, and we went to Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And my background was in insurance.
Okay.
I was with Metropolitan for a number of years. Actually, I was with JCPenney Insurance. People a lot of didn't know that they had insurance.
Yeah.
And but I was licensed in 15 different states and managed. A number of agents at that time too, but
now you mentioned Colorado, which is mostly rural. Any similarities with the non-concrete Virgin Islands and the rural parts of Colorado?
There's some. You know, I was there not too long ago, and about a month or so ago.
Of course, Colorado is its claim to fame now is being the first state to legalize marijuana, recreational marijuana, and all that, and all that stuff.
And they definitely do that. That's
but you know something about that particular industry, and you know we hear all these terms and adages, right? Cause and effect. There's another one that's is escaping me now. But do you know that people literally moved to Colorado because of their legalizing of marijuana?
Absolutely.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't just about them, their ability to make money. It was because they actually had the ability, right, to engage in something that they wanted to engage in, and they moved. So from an economic standpoint, population growth, that means job creation. That means businesses benefiting.
And that's exactly right. And people, they had a choice if they wanted to or didn't want to. And it's not like coming from another state that says, we're going to arrest you for that. They had a choice, you know, and if they wanted to, okay, you can. If you don't want to, you don't have to. But let me say this. My mother grew up in a place called Trinidad, Colorado, which is the first town you get to when you cross the border from New Mexico. It's the main thoroughfare coming into Colorado.
Uh-huh.
And I still have 86 acres of land outside of there.
Ooh.
But that town just blew up with dispensaries,
okay.
Marijuana dispensaries.
Okay.
And it created jobs. It created jobs there for people manicuring the marijuana sales aspect of it. And then, you know, since they moved in there, then they were going to need auto mechanics. They were going to, you know, need further grocery stores. So it kind of fed on itself there. Yeah.
No, I had a friend of mine who said back in the day, he used to move between Colorado and Mexico, right? And Colorado and New Mexico, not Mexico. Colorado and New Mexico, right?
Right.
Border states, right? New Mexico is south of Colorado.
That's exactly right. Yep.
Right? And he said he used to move between Pueblo.
Yeah, yes.
And Toes. There's a town called Toes in New Mexico. That's the name of the town?
Cruz?
No. I think it's... I'm going to look it up. But, so talk about the people movement between... And there is some underground movement as well out in the mountain time zone.
Well, there is. I went to college in Pueblo.
Okay.
One of the places we were, and my stepfather had businesses in Pueblo, but you know, there it has flourished. The industry has flourished there, and yes, it's brought in more people. You know what? It there's been a transfer of, let's say, wealth from California to Colorado, even people from Texas, because the taxes are so high in California, and they've left, and the real estate is so high. You know, it's not cheap in Colorado, but it's not the same as it is in some other states. So there has been a money transfer into the state, into Colorado. Yeah.
Okay. The name of the city is Taos.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Taos, and it's in northern New Mexico, right?
I've skied there. I've actually skied there more than once.
Wow.
So
is it anywhere near as beautiful as the Virgin Islands? Because I know it's hard for cities in the mainland to compete with this natural beauty we got here. But
I guarantee you what, they're each in their own way. they can be just so gorgeous and yeah. Beautiful. You know, back when I was in Colorado,
yeah.
About a month or so ago, I had an opportunity to go to Pueblo and in the house that we built, and I went out there and I'd forgotten how beautiful the mountains were right there and the snow peaked and that's nice. And you know what? I skied every day. And when I went to high school in Steamboat, Colorado,
mm-hmm.
and I thought I was going to be a ski instructor. That's left me completely. I love it here in the USBI. I can't leave it. I've gotten to where I don't want to get into snow and the battery dying and the mud and all that. I just love it here. Yeah.
There's something about the beach and the warm
yeah.
water.
Yeah,
that is magnetic,
and the people have been so. They've opened their arms to us, and it's been the best 4 years of my life.
That's what I'm talking about. Now quickly, there is a question about the industry. When you have companies like yourself, right? Are they equipped with the ICU equipment and all that, or do you have to lease that? How does that work in general with the industry?
And what was the first part of the question? I'm so sorry.
No. Sometimes certain industries, they have their own planes and they're outfitted with the medical equipment. In your case, is that the norm throughout the industry? Or?
Absolutely. Yes. Oh. I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt.
No. So that's okay.
Yeah. The companies I've been using for 30 years, I know their clinical teams very well.
Mm-hmm.
And they are equipped. It's like a flying hospital room. And so let's say in the industry, someone was hospitalized at Juan Louis and needed to be transferred.
That relationship between your business and a hospital, Juan Louis, Schneider Hospital, what have you, isn't that actually the most important part of the service that you're providing?
I can't tell you how important that is, and how you have to have a great working relationship with the hospitals themselves. 3 days ago, I just received a beautiful testimonial from the hospital in St. Croix. But that working relationship, that's ground zero. That's boots on the ground, and you have to have a close relationship with the case managers, physicians, ER nurses. It's a whole team effort to make a emergency flight. It really is.
Now, companies of your nature, typically, y'all own your own planes, or you're in a brokerage business?
There's one company down here that has planes, and they are gracious enough to let us use their plane.
Mm-hmm.
But there's not another company that owns an airplane that does business here in the USVI.
Okay, good.
We just use companies, again, out of St. Croix,
mm-hmm.
Puerto Rico, Dominican, and Southern Florida that I have used for a long time.
Mm-hmm. And those are the areas that you focus on in this region: South Florida, Dominican Republic, Virgin Islands, Trinidad.
To get planes from, to get an emergency plane from it is St. Croix and Puerto Rico and Dominican Republic. There's a company called Helidoso down there. I don't know if I should say that or not, but in Dominican, and they are just really Johnny on the spot and work well. And I know we have a lot of Dominican population here, especially here in St. Thomas. But those are the four main areas that we work with. Now, we fly people from all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
We have worldwide coverage.
Yeah.
So if one of our residents went down to Dominica, any island that Anguilla, I don't care, Trinidad,
mm-hmm.
and they're hospitalized.
You have access. You have access to come and provide that service for them and move them to where they need to go.
Absolutely. I want to make that very, very, very clear, because there's been some disinformation out there that I just want to overcome badly.
Well, we're in the business of making sure that we get rightful information here. We got Dusty Cook, originally from Colorado, and he's now a Virgin Islander. We're glad to have him here. We'll take a break and come back with the conversation right after this.
PBS NewsHour has a rich legacy of in-depth reporting and strong storytelling.
Only four people have sat in that chair before us, and the enormity of this moment is not lost on me. People turn to us because they know they can hear from trusted sources of information and news.
That won't change a bit, even as the faces behind the desk change.
Good evening. I'm Jeff Bennett.
And I'm Amna Nawaz.
Weekdays at 7 p.m. on WTJX-TV, Channel 12. Stay updated with news, alerts, and other valuable information with WTJX Newsfeed. Listen to the latest news stories that matter with Marcelina Ventura Douglas. Weekdays at 5 p.m. on WTJX 93.1, WTJX Newsfeed, your source for stories that matter.
I love this song.
I love nachos.
Loving everything? You might be buzzed.
You know what I'd love? A ride when it's time to head out.
If you see a buzz warning sign, call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
As the news gets more complex and changes through the day, you need more than just a quick headline check. Here and Now keeps you connected to your world between Morning Edition and All Things Considered, as the news and the people shaping it are changing in real time. I'm Robin Young. Follow along on Here and Now, NPR News weekday afternoons.
From 2 to 4 on WTJX-FM, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
There are many complex issues that arise in our territory.
Comes with the Territory with Leslie Comision.
Join me, Leslie Comision, for a breakdown of political issues facing our territory, one conversation at a time. I'm here to be the voice you can rely on for information that is straightforward and comprehensive. Tune in to be a part of the discussion. It all comes with the Territory.
Comes with the Territory airs Sundays at 1 p.m. and re-airs at 7 p.m. on WTJX-TV, Channel 12.
And we're back here. Analyze is having a great discussion. I'm talking with the first time with Dusty Cook from Global Medevac, and we're talking a little bit about the industry, talking about his background. Good morning again, Mr. Cook. Glad to have you on.
Thank you. Good morning.
Yeah, I don't know what it is with Colorado, but I had a guest on last month. She works with the welfare center here, the St. Croix, the Animal Welfare Center. She's from Denver, and now you're... Your background is from Colorado. One of my mentors, he actually, after he left college, he was in the GI. He was a GI Bill from back in the day, and he went. He served out in Fort Carson. That's out in Colorado, right?
It's in Colorado Springs, just right south of Colorado Springs, right north of Pueblo, Colorado.
Yeah. And then one of my regular contributors, we do a talk show on Monday, Table Talk, former senators. And we also mentioned that the U.S. Olympic Committee, right? They're headquartered in Colorado Springs, right? Out there?
They were, yeah. I don't know if they still are.
Yeah. No, they got training facilities and all that stuff out there.
Sure.
So, Colorado, for some reason, is like a liberal state out in the heartland, out in the plains.
It very much is. That's for sure.
Yeah, because you got a lot of red states out there, and here's Colorado, which was once purple, but it looks like it's more blue now than it is purple. So
it is. You know, it's funny how it's changed there because the landscape, marijuana. Landscape changed quite a bit. After that, but you know, it used to be a Republican state,
and
now people have certainly changed their minds on a few things. And recent events and recent presidents have made people change their minds completely.
I went out there. I was out there. My only trip out to Colorado. I went there in May of 2018. That was absolutely perfect. The weather was nice. It was starting to get warmer. And then you're in Denver, so you're a mile high, so it's never really warm per se. You know what I'm saying?
It can get warm a little bit now with things changing in the summertime.
Okay.
But as far as that goes,
I just
can get dadgum cold too.
Oh yeah, no, I was just freaking out as to how you get at the airport in Denver. And then you want to get to the rental car facility, and it's just a straight drive from the airport. It's like a mile and a half, a straight drive, no turning, no corners, nothing, straight down to the rental car facility. That airport is built out where in a desert, and they made it like an airport city.
It is out east of town. And it's huge, but you're right. I just rented a car there a month ago, and it was a straight shot right over to it.
Straight. I mean, that was cool, and I appreciate that. Now, I mentioned you New Mexico, right? And you know, I'm up there, so I like to reminisce a little bit. I would remember, right, when I was young, I liked to watch wrestling, and there was this wrestler named Cactus Jack, right? And, and they would say, and in the blue corner from Truth and Consequences, New Mexico, right?
Yeah.
So I've always, you know, been fascinated by that particular name. But the truth is, the name of the town is Hot Springs, right? And what happened was there was a radio show, a TV show by the name of Truth or Consequences. And they actually had a game or some type of contest. And that's how the name of the town changed from Hot Springs to Truth and Consequences. These type of things happen out west a lot, man.
Oh, yeah. Well, they can. Yeah. But I remember that show, Truth or Consequences. Yeah, I do.
Yeah. So, but one thing I want to say, though, out there, and it's similar to the Virgin Islands. The air out there is absolutely clean, Dusty. Clean.
Yes.
I guess that's a population thing with a lot of space and desert and all that stuff. But out there is absolutely pristine and lovely. So the prospects for getting more people to understand the value of a global medevac and that particular industry, how do we go about educating the public?
You know, I was on a Zoom call the other day, and the company I was talking with talked about transparency, and I said the key to transparency is education, and that brings out all the points and educates the residents here. So to do that, you know, we have a website. Other companies have a website, but we have a website. There is a Spanish link on it also. But, you know, here we are available 24/7 to talk to anyone, members, non-members, prospective members, about what we do and explain it to them. There's nothing better than to have a member that is educated and knows what they have, and because there's so many benefits that they can use to their advantage. But if they don't, we're going to let them know what they are.
anything else that you wanted to touch on as it relates to our ability as a Virgin Islands, as a U.S. jurisdiction in this particular region, to actually be a leader? Is there anything that we could do? Because there's so much potential here in the territory.
As an
English-speaking jurisdiction, as opposed to Puerto Rico, even though Puerto Rico has volume over the Virgin Islands, the fact that we speak English and the same language, the primary language as America, is there anything that we could do to take this industry to the next level, Dusty?
You know, as far as here in the territory, I think that people continue to be resilient. I think government needs to be responsive and have clear priorities and to spend their money responsibly and for what's needed for here in the territory. I think if those simple factors come together, it will continue to move us up to be more of a leadership role, but to make up the territory more prosperous, and by that I mean educated businesses that flourish, being prosperous, not but strengthening family values. Those are what I look for. That I think that they're working on more and more here in the territory.
Okay, good. Now you're in St. Thomas right now?
I am, yes.
Yeah.
My office is exactly across the street. You walk out the front door of the hospital, and I have an office. And I want to tell you this, we're such a hands-on organization that, you know, I visit members in the hospital. We meet our air ambulances. Mm-hmm. We make sure our families understand what they have and what's coming up, and because there's so many wonderful benefits.
Dusty Cook, Global Medevac, I want to thank you very much for spending some time with me this morning and talking about the industry and the prospects for the Virgin Islands as it relates to the service that you provide. quickly before you go, can you give some thoughts on healthcare in the Virgin Islands? Because you know, a lot of a lot of Virgin Islanders leave the territory, and that's a lot of money heading up to the mainland. Now, they have the right to do that. I'm not knocking them, but that's an economic challenge and dynamic that we can't avoid and we got to deal with.
Well, let me tell you this. And in my experience, and it's been vast, in 30 years of working with the hospitals here in the territory, in the USVI, they are getting better and better every day. The physicians are coming back to them. Equipment is increasing. The cancer center is being refurbished right now. But the attitude in the hospitals is changing, and that's important. But they are getting better and better at the care that they're offering. Is there still opportunities? Yes, there is. But I'm encouraged by what they're doing. I really am.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. By the way, you mentioned Wang Lui Hospital. You know, the transition from the main facility to Wang Lui North. Have you been over here? Have you checked out that situation?
Yes. Yes, I have.
And what's your take on that?
Well, we need to work on a facility there. My understanding after the hurricanes, there was money that was allocated for that. And where that money went, I don't know. But they are still doing amazing work with what they have. It surprises me all the time on cardiac patients or maybe a stroke patient. Mm-hmm. Their capabilities there, but as if they're unable to manage it, they sure are performing great in help getting the transfers out. I mean, the case management there at Wang Lui is top notch. They really are.
Well, that money's still there. That money's still available. It's just a matter of, doing what we got to do to make sure that, the resiliency that you talked about, is beneficial to the people of the Virgin Islands.
And, I agree.
And to me, I have no doubt that we are a resilient people, and that long-term goal, because we're in a recovery. And, we could use Katrina in New Orleans in 2005 as a perfect example. Recoveries tend to last from 10 to 12, maybe 15 years, So we're 6 years in and 7 years come September. But I think we're going to get there.
I do, too. And the steps and the progress that's been made, you bet. And you know what? It's going to continue to get better. I think our health care will continue to get better. I hope representation continues to get better as far as government is concerned. It's a great territory. Again, there's opportunity here. I can tell you that as coming down here with just a suitcase and being where we are now, there is opportunity.
Dusty Cook, thank you very much. Enjoy the weekend. Glad to talk with you for the first time, sir.
Yes, sir. Feel free at any time to contact me. And if anybody, we're doors wide open if anybody like questions answered about the industry.
Thank you very much. That's Dusty Cook from Global Medevac joining us this morning. And we're glad to have him on. And, he's spoken positively about the prospects for the Virgin Islands. And I think... you know me, I'm an eternal optimist, and I think we got a bright future here in the territory. Once again, next week, don't forget, we got a table talk. It's Easter week here in the Virgin Islands. We got table talk on Monday, and then on Tuesday, Delegate Stacey Plask is going to be on, hopefully from 8 to 8:30, and then Malik Siku, we're going to have conversation number two, which we're going to focus on self-governance, which is from 1970, from when we first elected our own governor. Prior to that, our governors were appointed. And it seems like a long time ago, but still infancy, 54 years into the deal, it's kind of, we're starting to, you know, in the grand scheme, 54 years is not a lot of years. It's a long time, and we've gone through a lot in the Voice now. So I'm looking forward to talking with Malik. So then we're gonna have a discussion. I know there are those who try to avoid talking about it, right? But we're going to talk about Fountain Valley and how that impacted life in the Virgin Islands, specifically here in the Virgin Islands. And I remember I pulled up, and I'm going to research it, a New York Times article from back then on the fallout from that, you know, that tragedy that took place in 1972, and how our hotels here on the Big Island took a hit to this day. And then it was compounded by Hurricane Hugo, right? Hitting us 17 years later, right? And in September of 1989, right? I believe the Fountain Valley incident was either September or early October of 72. And then, you know, Hugo and our, you know, we passed legislation in 1992, and that's how casino legislation actually was enacted, you know, because the devastation of Hugo, you know, on top of what we were dealing with from the 70s with Fountain Valley, you know, impacted our inventory, you know, our hotel room inventory, and that was the goal. And I'm gonna be honest with you, you know, 32 years later, you know, from a casino industry perspective, it really hasn't panned out. You know, we issued a lot of license, and Malik Siku knows about that because he was working at the legislature around that time, maybe right after, when we enacted the Resort and Casino Control Act of 1995. And we got a lot of things that we're going to talk about covering that 54-year window from 1970. I think we've had 9 elected governors. Right? Let me say Evans, King, Louis, Farrelly, Schneider, Turnbull, DeYoung, Mapp. Yeah, and Brian, yeah, 9. So, you know, a lot to talk about. So, looking forward to that on Monday. We're going to preview that. We actually have a preview discussion for that on the Table Talk on Monday. So, until then, enjoy the weekend. Be good and be safe. Enjoy the beautiful weather, and I'll talk to you then. Bye bye.
The views and opinions expressed on Analyze This are entirely those of the on-air participants and do not reflect those of the station's board, management, staff, or underwriters.
Hi, I'm Peter Sagal. You spent the week listening to the news. Don't you think you deserve to show off what you've learned on... Wait, we give you a chance to impress your friends with your knowledge of international incidents, political gaffes, and the latest advancement in German nudists. You'll be the life of the party. Or the death. Either way, you'll make an impression and you can thank Wait, Don't Tell Me from NPR.
Saturdays at 1 p.m. and Sundays at 2 p.m. right here on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
He said that black smoke was constantly coming out of the burn pits 24/7. And my reaction to it was like, wow, that doesn't sound very safe. I wonder what that's about. And in my mind, I couldn't imagine at the time that type of system operating could potentially harm our service members.
Journalism that seeks and reveals. That's On Point with me, Meghna Chakrabarty.
Weekdays at 1 p.m. on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
Good morning. This is meteorologist Russ Murley with your WTJX local forecast for Friday, March 22nd. We're talking about partly sunny skies at times today, maybe a passing shower drifting through, 83 to 87 with easterly winds at 10 to 20 miles per hour, a few showers, middle 70s tonight. Sunshine, partly sunny at times, maybe an isolated shower, middle 80s tomorrow. There's still a small chance of a shower Saturday night, mid 70s. Partly sunny with a few showers Sunday, mid-80s. Rip current risk will be moderate at area beaches today. Meet the Triagros family and get a behind-the-scenes look at their three restaurants on Menus Plaisir. Les Triagros, tonight at 9 p.m. on WTJX-TV, Channel 12.